As it's gone round, it isn't just there for entertainment, but actually for information and communication. So lots of things are happening. Just draw your attention to the fact that going through the week, on Tuesday I've been asked to remind us that there's a funeral of Helen Lees at 12 noon, not 12 midnight, 12 noon here at church. And then on Wednesday, it's the last Wednesday of the month already, and so there's a service at 12 o'clock and lunch at 12:30 in church, and all are welcome to that. Saturday Keeping Mum is the film, it's our film this weekend. And just to remind us that I've been asked to say that Julie, our cleaner, is on holiday next week. So Christine has asked me to make sure that we can all work on keeping the church as tidy and as clean as possible. If you see a little job that needs doing or a tea towel that needs washing, that kind of thing, please use your initiative so that we keep everything spick and span through the coming week till Julie returns in just over under a fortnight's time. And now Mandy's going to lead us in worship again this Sunday, and we look forward to hearing perhaps more of other people's stories.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And look who's on the back row. A week too late. Imrad.
Going to embarrass her now.
For those who weren't here last week, I'd asked in the previous weeks, how does God speak to you? And five brave people volunteered, you know, to speak. And there are some people again this morning who are prepared to speak, which is great. This is what pulls us together, is it not? Yes?
Yes.
Is it working now?
Yes.
Thank you. After last Sunday, I emailed Carol and said how sorry I was that she couldn't be with us. And she emailed me back. Can you remember what you said about your son-in-law?
Oh, yes.
He told me that he did speak about me at church, and probably nobody would let me into the building again.
Is that true?
No.
No. Excuse me, sir, but you should be a local preacher.
Though, did I? The court case and everything.
I don't think you've heard what I've just said. I know you are. You should be a local preacher. Ponder on it. Somebody else tell him today. Again and again. If God wants you, he never lets up. You'll know. Okay? That's all, by the way. Let's just be quiet for a moment. Some of my favourite words from the prophet Isaiah. But now this is what the Lord says. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Zoe and Steve have chosen the first three songs or hymns. They knew what the theme was. How does God speak to us? And they, to my surprise, really, they've chosen a hymn as the opener by John Newton. And his story, as a lot of you will know, is a powerful tale of redemption and God's grace. As a young man, John Newton spent his life at sea, and eventually he became involved in the slave trade. But one day, as they were travelling on the sea, a great storm blew up, worse than he'd ever had before. And he spoke to the God that he hardly knew. And he said to this God, "If you will spare me, I will spend the remainder of my day in your service." The ship survived, barely. And Newton miraculously made land, and he never forgot the promise that he'd made, and he committed his life in the service of God. And his famous hymn, "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound."
Thank you.
Have you ever thought that one of this congregation had a very similar story? You guess who I'm thinking of? He's not with us any longer. Theo. Yes, Theo Eaves. Do you remember the story he used to tell? He was in bomber command, so he wasn't at sea. He was in the aeroplanes bombing Italy, I think. And one day, one of the bombs got stuck before it would release. And they were really frightened, obviously, because that bomb could go off, especially when they landed. And so Theo prayed, "Lord, save us. And if you do save me, I will dedicate my life to you." And he did, didn't he? Very, very much so. You know, however we've come to faith, our next song, well, I think this was one of Theo's favourites, and it's one of my favourites too. "Remain Seated, King of Kings, Majesty." It says it all.
Just the light of mine, I'm gonna let
certainly John Newton and Theo certainly did let their light shine. Yes? Did you notice on the film how one light became three?
Yes.
So, let your light shine. We asked last Sunday, we asked the question, how does God speak to us, or how does he speak to me? And if you weren't here then, five people stood up and spoke. Several of them said God speaks through nature. How they just stand in awe of God's wonderful creation. Christine spoke of the view over the Cheshire Plain from Lyme Park and of watching the skylarks fly there and just being filled with awe. Others spoke of that inner feeling of peace and strength and comfort when they just knew deep down that God was with them, especially after a bereavement. Two people spoke of how our banners speak to them, especially that one. It encourages Marion to get her Bible out and read it. And others talked of how moved they were by people speaking to them. Sometimes by their words, sometimes by how they cared and what they did, especially about caring for the environment. Is there anything else to say? Well, there just may be. Phil.
Good morning. Well, you won't be able to tell from looking at me that for many years, Bernie and I, our biggest hobby was mountain walking. So walking all over the United Kingdom and lots of places in Europe. But Bernie's favourite place, the place that we keep going back to, is the Lake District. And over the years, many sort of things have happened to us where God has either spoken to us or shown himself to us. And I started to write them down. And I have about 50 or 60 different articles now, different stories of God showing himself or speaking. And if you bear with me, I'd like to read one of those stories to you. There was a stiffening breeze, but the sky was blue and the sun shining as we left the village of Coniston and headed towards the Old Man. Our aim was to complete a circuit of the Coniston Fells. Let me just tell you that for a moment that we were always, or I was always, over ambitious, always trying to do much more than my little legs would carry me around. And sometimes we would become not lost, but temporarily misplaced. So on this particular day, the aim was to try and get up to Coniston Old Man, Brimfell, Swirlhowe, and Wetherlam. I'm sorry if you don't know the lakes and that sounds like a foreign language to you, but those are the hills on the Coniston Round. Our 11s were taken sitting on a large rock looking towards Brim Fell, with Leavers Water far away to the right, and no sign of what was to come. Passing the beehive-shaped cairn on top of the Old Man of Coniston, we turned north into a strengthened wind and headed for Swirlhowe. Walking was becoming increasingly difficult, and twice we were blown onto our knees, but remained determined to reach our target. Suddenly, the clouds came scudding in from the west coast, and with them, a hailstorm that created a total whiteout, no distinction between sky and ground. Visibility was down to a few yards, and it was difficult to follow the cairn-lined route. We gained an initial reassurance from the six men walking towards us, wearing shorts, would you believe? But that reassurance was soon replaced by an unnerving feeling created by their audible wincing as the hailstones pounded against their legs. The silence was deafening, but we plodded on, eventually coming to rest against a large cairn. At this point, I didn't say anything to Bernie, but I was beginning to panic. I suggested we should sit down and have a cup of tea, thinking maybe I could get my map and compass out and work something out. But Bernie said, "No, we must keep going. We must keep going." What a dilemma. We'd reached this cairn, but was this swirl house or not? Was there a safe route to the northeast? Or were we at Great Howe Crags with a very dangerous route downwards? Suddenly, from the northeast, a border collie appeared, followed a short time after by what appeared to be a shepherd. He certainly had a long crook in his hand, not with the curved bit on the end, and he had a brief word, morning, and plodded on. We saw his footsteps in the snow and thought, yes, that's a way down, we can follow those footsteps. But the storm was so intense that those footsteps soon disappeared. We couldn't find out where we were. The shepherd reappeared from behind us and led a very definite trail down the hillside. Not the way we'd intended to go, but nevertheless a route to follow. Afterwards, I asked myself, was that really a shepherd? Was it pure chance that had brought him to us at that particular time? Was he determined to lead us to safety? You will have to make up your own minds. You will have to determine whether God led us safely down that hill, or whether God simply gave me the words to write the story, that God left me with that impression. I wrote this at the end of the article. We do live in uncertain and changing times, but one thing that is a standard that will never change is that the Lord is our shepherd and we can trust in him. His love and concern for us is steadfast and permanent. May he continue to lead us and guide us through both good and difficult times. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
It can't be surprising in the hymn that Phil has chosen for us. The Lord's my shepherd. What an amazing story. I've got a challenge for you, Phil. You told me that you were thinking about writing all these experiences in a book. Well, do it. Yeah. There you are. You've had the backing. Perhaps in a leaflet, a paper leaflet to start with? Yeah, for us? Great, we look forward to it. And now there's no show without punch, of course. Bernie.
Hi. I can't promise to be as eloquent as Phil, but I'll try. All the things we've heard of today, we see the love of God and God speaks to us. I've experienced a lot of those, including being, had my breath taken away at views that have appeared, you know, from mountaintops. But today, I'd like to talk about people that point us to the Lord, and who you know by just looking at them that the glory of the Lord shines through them and out of them, and you know, you feel so privileged to have known them. And today I'd like to talk about some friends we made at our other church in Hill Green many years ago. They're called Ina and Sid. They're no longer with us, sadly, but whilst they were alive, they were a true sort of inspiration, Christian inspiration to me. They were brought up in Salford and were members of, after they'd got married, they met as teenagers in Christian youth clubs, and then they got married and they came, fortunately, to live in Hill Green. They were staunch Methodists and they were so generous as a couple. And their commitment to the life of the church was second to none. Ina, as part of her Christian ministry, would write lovely, supportive letters to everyone who participated in the life of the church. And at one time, I used to be a Sunday school teacher at the church, and whenever we took anything into church that the children had done, or when we did the nativity services, after, she would have a quick word, but she would also write a letter to the staff to say how much she'd enjoyed it, but also a word for us to reach to read out to the children. And she had such a way of writing. They were beautiful, the words she used, and she was really, truly, God-inspired person. Sid was one time a craft teacher. He specialised in woodwork, and they just dedicated their lives to church. And I remember Sid had built the stage like this at the church in Hill Green. He'd built the pulpit and the communion rail, and they were amazing. All the talents that they had, they used for the life of Christ. However, the height of their love for Jesus was emphasized in the way they gave to people who may have had a difficulty or sadness in their lives. If someone had an illness, an accident, or a bereavement, a potted plant or a bouquet of flowers would mysteriously arrive on their front doorstep or in their porchway. provided by Ina and Sid. On one occasion, I went to pick Philip. He'd had a new hip replacement, and it was all the way in Wrightington. So the day he was coming home, I'd gone to pick him up, and we came back. And when we arrived home and opened the front door, in the porch was a mysterious carrier bag hang on the door handle. And when we looked inside, it was a cooked chicken that Ina had cooked for us, and she'd dispatched it with Sid, because he was the driver. And they said, they put a little note with it and said, after your long journey, we thought you wouldn't feel up to cooking, so here's something to help you along this evening. Such, and we weren't the first person to have received, you know, this type of loving things from them. I've got down, you can argue that there are very generous people who are not Christians, or indeed do not belong to any faith around. But the difference with Ina and Sid is that they had what they called their Jesus Fund, which they put money into regularly. And when anything was needed, or if anyone was in trouble, or like with us who needed some food when we, after a long journey, they would use their Jesus Fund for this. And they were such wonderful people. And eventually, sadly, Sid got dementia, and he ended up in Woodlands, and Ina was sort of lost without him, because they lived in Heald Green, and she had to get to visit Sid. So she used to pay for a taxi about 4, possibly 5 days a week to come and visit Sid. And she would sit with him throughout the day and then return home, you know, to an empty house. But sadly, while Sid was still in there, Ina became ill herself, and her sons arranged for her to go in Woodlands. They didn't share a room, but at least she was able from time to time to go and sit with him. Sadly, Sid passed away whilst he was there, but Ina was still there. And I believe, we were still living in Heald Green at the time, and I believe that we were brought to Poynton so that I could go and visit Ina while she was alone in Woodlands. You know, a family would try and come, but one of her sons lived far away and the other son worked. So I would, as it happened, out of the blue, we came to live in Poynton. I'd liked Poynton, and my daughter was moving out of where she was living at the time. And she said to us, oh, you've always gone on about downsizing and wanting to try out what it's like in Poynton. You know, do you want to do that? And I'll pay you rent, so you can rent for a year to see if you like it there. And it so happened, it was at the same time that Ina was in Woodlands. And I do believe that God brought us here so that I could go and visit Ina on a regular basis and help her. Because after Sid passed away, I think she wanted to be with him, and she found it hard to settle, even though it's a lovely place. But Ina was bereft without her right-hand man. And so the mysterious ways that God works, you know, for the good of others. He brought us here, I think, so that we could visit Ina regularly. I think that's all what I wanted to say. But they were a couple that the light of God seemed to shine through them, you know, and they were just beautiful people. And I think that helps us when we come across people like this. It helps us in our spiritual journey.
Well, I, for one, thank God that God did bring you two here. And I pray that he'll help you move back again. Phil and I are both local preachers, you'll know that. But Phil's got that gift of always being able to make me laugh. No matter what's going on, somehow or other, we end up laughing. And that is a wonderful gift. And I think there are other people here who have that gift. Maybe you know who I mean. So Bernie has chosen, well, an obvious choice. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. After I had thrown out the challenge, I got a letter from Margaret. Margaret doesn't want to speak, but she says, yes, I can read out what she sent me. So these are Margaret's words. God can and does speak through many different ways, and for me, he speaks through words. We are so privileged to have God's word in the Bible, which we can read freely, and within which are so many stories to guide and direct our lives, with Christ as our example to follow. The words we find there can both challenge and encourage me in my daily life. God also speaks to me through hymns and poetry, giving me the opportunity to give thanks and praise to him and to appreciate all who give their skills to further the gospel message. On a daily basis, I find God speaking through the medium of television and radio, bringing situations from around the world to my attention, highlighting the unbelievable conditions faced by our brothers and sisters in other countries during times of conflict and poverty, bringing me to my knees in prayer. On a more personal note, I find God speaking to me through everyday conversations that I have with people on my daily walks. These may be people in need, where I can offer a listening ear. And sometimes, when my faith is challenged, I know that each conversation is so necessary if I am to grow in faith and trust in God. A few days later, I got a second letter, and in it, a hymn. Margaret told me that she doesn't sleep more than 2 to 3 hours, but she enjoys the peace and the quiet of the night time. And it was during one of these nights that she wrote this hymn. We sang it last week and everybody appreciated it. She says, it's not her words. They are the words that God gave to her. And so we sing, our loving Father knows our need and speaks in many ways that we may share the glorious word throughout our earthly days. I didn't read the ending of Margaret's letter. Each day I pray that God will speak to me through my quiet times, when I seek to open myself to his will for my life and allow him to reveal the path I should follow. As he speaks, it reminds me of the need to think deeply of the way I use words, as I reach out to others with love, as I remember something I read many years ago. Words contain enormous powers. They can be thorns or flowers. How true is that? I'm sure we've all been in the situation where we've spoken without really thinking and then wished we hadn't said what we did. But think of a time too when someone else's words or your own have been flowers. Jonathan? I was speaking to Jonathan in the foyer, so he's largely unprepared, but I told him what we were going to say.
Oh, thank you, Mandy. It was lovely to have a chat earlier. Always encouraging to speak to you, as always. And I don't need to prepare. I've been preparing for the last 64 years. It won't be a long story, I promise. I was lucky to grow up with a wonderful mum and dad. Mum took me along to Sunday school from the tender age of about 4. And Dad always taught me a lot about life. He always spoke to me, gave me some very good advice. So I had a very good start in life. My view of God was a very childish one, understandably, when I was younger. I always thought that God speaking to me meant the angels appearing or thunder and lightning, the Old Testament way of God speaking to me. But Mum, bless her, always said, listen to your conscience. And that proved to be very, very good advice. I stand before you in humility because I am a pretty bad Christian. I don't really read my Bible that much, and my life is full of earthly distractions, hobbies, interests, that kind of thing. But particularly over the last 5 or 6 years, God has spoken to me amazingly. It's wonderful to see so many expressions, the different ways in which God speaks to us, because that's so true. Going back to 2019, that was when Linda became very ill. And all of a sudden, life was a struggle. And one of the few things I could do to try and make my day a bit easier was to walk, just to go outside. And I was desperately seeking all sorts of answers from God. And he didn't disappoint. He met me in that need. I would enjoy nature, as has been said, just the blue skies, the sunshine. I love seeing robins in the hedgerows and the wildlife. That took on a new depth and a new value. And as I was walking along, thoughts were going through my head, and I would start off being in a very dark place, thinking very negative thoughts, but generally, as I walked along and thought things through, things would turn around. And when I got home, I would be incredibly uplifted, almost joyful, because that negativity had been turned into positive things. Being grateful for 30 years of marriage, being grateful for having a wonderful daughter, being grateful for what was left of my relationship with Linda. Now, you could say that that's just logic and that's just me thinking things through, but no, I am convinced that God was guiding me in that, my thoughts in that process. God was speaking to me through that. And the wonderful thing was that the realization that the very time we need God most, God, I believe, wants to speak to us the most and be with us the most and help us the most. And the thought that struck me was that I don't deserve this blessing. God's being amazing. I'm so aware of him helping me through this, but I don't deserve it. And then the penny dropped. That God doesn't love us because we deserve to be loved. God loves us because each one of us is who we are. And that was amazing, the fact that God loved me so much despite my disengagement, despite not reading the Bible that much, and despite not being a very good Christian. God still loved me and wanted to bless me. God has spoken to me through you. Speaking to people, so many conversations have been so incredibly encouraging. And again, the power of words. So many things I don't think are coincidences. I think, as Mandy would say, they're God incidences. If we can look for God at work in other people in so many areas of our life, then I think we will see more and more of how he is at work in our lives. I've been so blessed by the words of other people. When Linda was on the mental health ward in Chester, I would go and see her regularly, and I gained such blessing out of our visits. Being with Linda was it was always very, very special. It's a special time. And I remember having said cheerio to Linda, one of the nurses had to let me out, press the button to let me out of the ward. And she said a few words to me. She said, "It's so lovely to see the two of you together." And those words, I can't tell you how much they lifted my spirits. And I carry that with me day to day, and that encourages me. That puts a smile on my face every day. And the power of words is incredible. And as we can encourage each other, God can encourage us through the way he speaks to us, what he says to us as well. And if we're open to receiving God's blessing in terms of kind words and God's love through the words for the people, then that's God at work. And as I say, the more I've looked into the various aspects of my life, the more aware I've become of God being there for me, speaking to me in so many different ways, and loving me in so many different ways. And that has encouraged me, because I see the power of that, and I think, I want some of that. I'm not very good at it, but I just love the idea of being able to say a few chosen words, God-given words, to make somebody's day, or to cheer them up, or to help them. And that's, I take no credit for that whatsoever. I am awful at that. But when that happens, I believe God's helped me and spoken through me.
Can I tell you something, Jonathan? You've become Chris's unofficial pastoral visitor. Chris and Jonathan get on very well. And through the power of the telephone, here's another way that God can speak to us. I know, I see how your words help my husband. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Mandy. And that's the wonderful thing. It's a two-way thing. I love our conversations, Chris. And, oh, I always feel so uplifted and blessed by the time we spend chatting on the phone. So I give thanks to God for you and for Mandy and for everybody. Oh, bless you. Mine too. So God is amazing, absolutely amazing, and it's not through the thunder and lightning, the big dramatic stuff that's important in our lives. It's the smaller things. It's taking time to speak to people. It's being loving and caring towards people. And talking about conscience before, I will occasionally be out and about on the street and I'll see somebody who is, say, pretty obviously homeless or having a difficult time on the street. And that little word pops into, that little thought pops into my head, go and speak to them. And I find that so hard sometimes because the need is so great and you think, well, what can I do? I can't solve the problems. But I've listened to that little voice and said, yes, I will go and talk to people. It's amazing. A smile, a thank you, a little conversation is priceless. And I've taken away something that has lifted me up and thought, wow, that's really made my day. And I thought, well, that's hopefully helped them a little bit too. And that something else as well, again, I take no credit for this whatsoever. Reading the book of Jonah, Jonah was chosen. He was the man to do the job, to go to Nineveh. And obviously, daunting thing, well, nobody's going to listen to me. It's going to go horribly wrong, and this is going to be very hard, and how can I deliver that message? But obviously, in the end, Jonah did go, and God worked through that amazingly. But the thought that struck me was that there was only one man in the entire world who could deliver that message, and that was Jonah. And I'm not saying that I'm a Jonah, but I'm saying that in your day, maybe there's one person, if one person goes and speaks to somebody, says a few encouraging words, that could change that person's day. They say, well, it's lovely to see them, and that's brilliant. Maybe you're the one person that God is calling to do that work in that moment.
Words contain enormous powers.
Yeah,
they can be thorns or flowers. Let's never forget that.
Absolutely. And the fact that God can use each one of us to have such a hugely positive impact on people's lives, change people's lives. No great words, just a few words, just a genuine chat. That is wonderful. And again, I take no credit at all for that. The credit is all God's.
Okay.
So that's how God
Thank
speaks
you.
To me.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for other people's words and examples that have spoken to us today, and for the variety of ways that we can hear your message. May our eyes be open, our ears in listening mode, our hearts and minds be alert to your guidance, and our feet willing to move. Forgive us when we are too busy to receive your word, however it comes, or when we actively ignore it, seeking only our own selfish needs. Please forgive us. Help us to take care in what we do say. And when we have offended people, give us the confidence to go and apologize. Help us to speak out for injustice wherever we see it, but to do it in Christian terms of love and compassion, just as Bishop Budd did at that service in Washington after President Trump's inauguration. Who can forget what she said? Imprint the saying on our minds. Words contain enormous powers. They can be thorns or flowers. And in the silence, we pray for those parts of the world where there is no peace, for Gaza and Israel, Ukraine and Russia, the Sudan. We pray for the politicians involved, that they seek reconciliation and not domination. Oh, bring peace, Lord. In the silence, we bring before you all we know who are in need of your strength and healing touch today, the sick, the bereaved, the anxious. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to listen to other people's stories. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We've told our stories, that's all. We sat and listened to each other and heard the journeys of each soul. We sat in silence, entering each other's pain and sharing each one's joy. We heard love's longing and the lonely reaching out for love and affirmation. We heard of dreams shattered and visions fled, of hopes and laughter turned stale and dark. We felt the pain of isolation and the bitterness of death. But in each brave and lonely story, God's gentle life broke through. And we heard music in the darkness and smelt flowers in the void. We felt the budding of creation in the searchings of each soul and discerned the beauty of God's hand in each muddy, twisted path. And God's voice sang in each story. His life sprang from each death. Our sharing became one story of a simple, lonely search for life and hope and oneness in a world which sobs for love. And we knew that in our sharing, God's voice with mighty breath was saying, love each other and take each other's hand. For you are one, though many, and in each of you I live. So listen to my story and share my pain and death. Oh, listen to my story and rise and live with me. Let's say the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all. Amen. There's a lady sitting right in front of me who comes to the Wednesday prayer group. She loves Kit. She's shy. She doesn't say very much, but we love her presence. And every so often, she surprises us. And she surprised us perhaps 2-3 weeks ago Do you remember what you sang? Asking, does anybody know this? We all did. And we all began to sing with her. It's a hymn that if you're of a certain age, you will know. We'll all know it, I think. Can we put the words up, please? And what a wonderful way to end the service. God be in my head and in my understanding.